Chapter 4. When the world was young and men were weak and the fiends of the night walked free, I strove with Set by fire and steel and the juice of the upas tree. Now that I sleep in the mount's black heart and the ages take their toll, forget ye him who fought with the snake to save the human soul? Alone in the great sleeping chamber with its high golden dome, King Conan slumbered and dreamed. Through swirling gray mists he heard a curious call, faint and far, and though he did not understand it, it seemed not within his power to ignore it. Sword in hand, he went through the gray mist, as a man might walk through clouds, and the voice grew more distinct as he proceeded, until he understood the word it spoke. It was his own name that was being called across the gulfs of space or time. Now the mists grew lighter, and he saw that he was in a great dark corridor that seemed to be cut in solid black stone. It was unlighted, but by some magic he could see plainly. The floor, ceiling, and walls were highly polished and gleamed dull, and they were carved with the figures of ancient heroes and half-forgotten gods. He shuddered to see the vast shadowy outlines of the nameless old ones, and he knew somehow that mortal feet had not traversed the corridor for centuries. He came upon a wide stair, carved in the solid rock, and the sides of the shaft were adorned with esoteric symbols so ancient and horrific that King Conan's skin crawled. The steps were carven each with the abhorrent figure of the old serpent, Set, so that at each step he planted his heel on the head of the snake, as it was intended from old times. But he was none the less at ease for all that. But the voice called him on. And at last, in darkness that would have been impenetrable to his material eyes, he came into a strange crypt and saw a vague, white-bearded figure sitting on a tomb. Conan's hair rose up, and he grasped his sword, but the figure spoke in sepulchral tones.
"O man, do you know me?"
"Not I, by Crom," swore the king.
"Man," said the ancient, "I am Epimetheus."
"But Epimetheus the sage has been dead for 1,500 years, stammered Conan.
"Hearken," spoke the other commandingly. "As a pebble cast into a dark lake sends ripples to the farther shores, happenings in the unseen world have broken like waves on my slumber. I have marked you well, Conan of Cimmeria, and the stamp of mighty happenings and great deeds is upon you. But dooms are loose in the land, against which your sword cannot aid you."
"You speak in riddles," said Conan uneasily. "Let me see my foe, and I'll cleave his skull to the teeth."
"Loose your barbarian fury against your foes of flesh and blood," answered the ancient. "It is not against men that I must shield you. There are dark worlds barely guessed by man, wherein formless monsters stalk, fiends which may be drawn from the outer voids to take material shape and rend and devour at the bidding of evil magicians. There is a serpent in your house, O king, from Stygia, with the dark wisdom of the shadows in his murky soul. As a sleeping man dreams of the serpent which crawls near him, I have felt the foul presence of Set's neophyte. He is drunk with terrible power, and the blows he strikes at his enemy may well bring down the kingdom. I have called you to me to give you a weapon against him and his hellhound pack."
"But why?" bewilderedly asked Conan. "Men say you sleep in the black heart of Golemira, whence you send forth your ghost on unseen wings to aid Aquilonia in times of need, but I am an outlander and a barbarian."
"Peace!"
The ghostly tones reverberated through the great shadowy cavern.
"Your destiny is one with Aquilonia. Gigantic happenings are forming in the web and the womb of fate, and a blood-mad sorcerer shall not stand in the path of imperial destiny. Ages ago Set coiled about the world like a python about its prey. All my life, which was as the lives of 3 common men, I fought him. I drove him into the shadows of the mysterious south. But in dark Stygia men still worship him who to us is the archdemon. As I fought Set, I fight his worshippers and his votaries and his acolytes. Hold out your sword."
Wondering, Conan did so. And on the great blade, close to the heavy silver guard, the ancient traced with a bony finger a strange symbol that glowed like white fire in the shadows. And on the instant, crypt, tomb, and ancient vanished, and Conan, bewildered, sprang from his couch in the great golden-domed chamber. and as he stood, bewildered at the strangeness of his dream, he realized that he was gripping his sword in his hand, and his hair prickled at the nape of his neck, for on the broad blade was carven a symbol, the outline of a phoenix. And he remembered that on the tomb in the crypt he had seen what he had thought to be a similar figure carven of stone. Now he wondered if it had been but a stone figure, and his skin crawled at the strangeness of it all. Then, as he stood, a stealthy sound in the corridor outside brought him to life, and without stopping to investigate he began to don his armor. Again he was the barbarian, suspicious and alert as a gray wolf at bay.